Today's share is sponsored by a friend, as a zechus, that he should be matzliach with educating his children, with chinuch. Certainly, he's a role model, and his high regard for learning should be a zechus for his chinuch of his children. Okay, we're up to Perek, where Shmuel Beis Perek Ches. We learned the first two pesukim last week. How David defeated the Plishtim, and David struck down Moab. So Shmuel Beis Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Vayach David is Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova. David struck Hadad Ezer ben Rechov, the king of Tzova. Balechto lahashiv yado binahar pros. He went to place his control by the river Pros, by the Euphrates River. He wanted to capture the territory around there. And it seems like he would have infringed on Eretz Yisrael and he would have conquered part of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So David went and he battled and he defeated Hadad Ezer ben Rechov, the king of Tzova. This was actually called a Kibush Yochid. The Gemara discusses in Gittin on Daf Ches. What David did was on his own. He waged a battle, and he captured additional land for Eretz Yisrael. Tzova's up north, in the area that the Mefarshim say it's called Chalav, in Syria. It's in that section of Syria. Rashi explains that since all of Klal Yisrael weren't together, it wasn't like when Yoshua bin Nun captured Eretz Yisrael, where we went as a united nation. Here was David on his own, went against Hadad Ezer ben Rechov with his army, but it wasn't a national effort. David felt there was possibly a threat, or it was getting too close to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't an attack on Eretz Yisrael, and David went ahead on his own, and he fought against Hadad Ezer, and he captured this additional territory. Tosfos learns it was David captured this before we captured the rest of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there were areas that belonged to Klal Yisrael. Yoshua ben Nun even distributed areas. We had before David captured Yerushalayim. But the area right around Yerushalayim was under the control of the Yavusi, was not under Jewish control. So since David captured this land, before we captured all of the land of Eretz Yisrael, it did not have the significance of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It was sort of conquered too early, and it wasn't what was promised to us in the Torah, and that's called Kibush Yochid. So Rashi learns because it wasn't Klal Yisrael together attacking, it was David on his own with his army. Tosfos learns because he captured this before we captured the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And it comes up a number of places, and the Gemara talks about Syria, which is the area, Syria, Lebanon. It is the area up north of Eretz Yisrael. It's called Syria. For certain things, it had a din like Eretz Yisrael, and for certain halachos, it was treated like Chutz Laaretz. The Ksiv, it doesn't say which river, it doesn't say Paros. If people know that Sova's up north, they would realize which river it is, but the Kri is Binahar Paros. We read it as if it says the word Paros to clearly mention that it's the Euphrates River we're talking about. And David defeated Hadad Ezer. There were many Aroms, which we're going to touch on as the parak goes along. This Tzova is also called Aram Tzova. But there was an Aram Damesek, an Aram Naharayim, an Aram Ma'acha. There were different areas that were settled by the people of Aram. And the area of Tzova had Hadad Ezer ben Rechov as a king, and David captured it. Vayilko David mimenu. David captured from him Elef u'shvameyos paroshim, 1,700 cavalry. People rode the horses. Ve'eshrim Elef ishragli, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Vayakir David as kol harechev. And David hamstrung all of the chariots, or all the horses that were used for pulling the chariots. And he left over just 100 chariots. Some learn it means 100 horses that pulled the chariots, or it's 100 chariots, and if each chariot was pulled by 4 horses, it would mean there were 400 horses left. But what David HaMelech was doing was, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, lo yarbe, that a king is not allowed to increase too many unnecessary horses, he's not allowed to have too much wealth, and he can't have too many wives. Because of that din of not having too many horses, David HaMelech immobilized the he left over 100 rachev, 100 chariots. All the other horses, he removed the section below the ankle, by the hoof. So the animal's not able to run quickly like in war. It's a little bit disabled. I mean, it can walk around, but it's no longer able to do battle. The chiddush was that, first of all, this is not like the king went to buy horses. He happened to win them in a war. In other words, he had them as a result of war, and yet David HaMelech wanted to make it very clear that he's not relying on the horses to save him, and he's just relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see. This is a time of war. The idea of not having too many horses is where it's a time of peace and the king doesn't need it for battle. Really, in a time of war, it would be permitted. But Sheker Asus L'Seshua, Rav Chelu Lo Yimale, David HaMelech was fully aware of the fact that the horses are not going to bring salvation, and he's putting his bitachon completely in Hashem, and therefore David immobilized the excess horses. Vatavo Aram Damesek. Aram Damesek came. Lazar led Hadadezer Melech Tzova to help out Hadadezer, the king of Tzova. Vayach David Baram Esrim Ushnaim Elafish. And David struck in Aram, before we talked about the king of Tzova, now it's Aram Damesek, another Aram, and he struck 22,000 foot soldiers. Vayosim David Nitzivim Baram Damesek. David set up Nitzivim, officials, authorities, in Aram Damesek. Vati Aram LeDavid, and Aram was under the control of David. La'avodim as servants, as slaves, Nosei Mincha, who would have to bear tribute and show their subservience to David. Vayosha Hashem es David, Hashem saved David b'chol asher holach. Wherever David HaMelech went, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. Which again, the chiddush is what these battles of David were not imperative. It was not to capture the land that had the full kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. This was his private conquest. And it wasn't like Klal Yisrael was attacked. But David HaMelech understood he's not building the Beis HaMikdash because HaKadosh Baruch Hu views his mission as the Ish Melchama, as the one to win the battles for Klal Yisrael. And this way he secured the boundaries, even this is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, so that there wouldn't be any problems with the Goyim in the future. And Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher holach, even on his personal missions and on his personal campaigns, Hashem saved him wherever he went. And of course, he was being saved even though he had already immobilized the extra horses. He had limited his army, but Hashem was with him. Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach David eis shiltei hazov. David took the golden shields. Some learn the shiltos is where the arrows are kept in their quiver, and the holder where the archer keeps his arrows. Or shiltei means a shield that a foot soldier uses to ward off any incoming arrows or swords or shields. Or arrows or swords. So v'yigach David ha-shiltei hazov. He took these golden shields, asher hayu el avdei Hadad Ozer, that belonged to the servants of Hadad-Ozer. Vayivim Yerushalayim, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. And the Pasuk doesn't say these shields were al avdei Hadad-Ozer, on the servants of Hadad-Ozer. It used the word el. These were shields that were to the servants of Hadad-Ozer. I mean, it could be in the battle, then perhaps they didn't use the gold shields, and it was meant for ornamental purposes when they had a dress parade or an honor guard. So these were the gold shields that the servants of Hadad-Ozer used. But David HaMelech captured them all. And he brought them to Yerushalayim. Rashi points out all of these battles. We're going to have one war after another that David fought. And the point is to show that David HaMelech's intention was to gather and accumulate a wealth from which the Beis HaMikdash could later be built. So he saved up all of the spoils that he won to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. And he brought it to Yerushalayim. Umi Betach umi Beirosai, from Betach and Beirosai, Ore Hadad Ozer, the cities of Hadad Ozer, Lokach HaMelech David Nechoshes Harbe Ma'od. King David took a lot of copper. I saw one of the Meforshim wants to say this Beirosai can also be pronounced Beirotai. And that's modern day Beirut. Beirotai, Beirut. That it was up north, and as I say, Aram Tzov included the parts of Syria and parts of Lebanon. It seems the conquest was mostly on the coast, and David from there captured a tremendous amount of copper. What's interesting is David HaMelech Shlomo HaMelech didn't actually use the wealth that David accumulated, because there was a concern that later on, if the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed as it was, the Goyim would say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by their idols. That since David went ahead and he attacked them and he took all of the wealth from all of the Goyish nations, because of that, their gods wreaked vengeance and destroyed the temple. Chas v'shalom. So Shlomo HaMelech didn't want that wealth to be used, and he put it aside after he built the Beis HaMikdash, and it was stored up in the Otzros Beis Hashem. Certain items, though, were made from the copper. From the Nechoshes, it says there was a yam, there was a tremendous, like a pool, where the Kohanim could be toivel. There were copper pillars in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were other copper vessels that were made from this Nechoshes, but the bulk of the wealth, the gold and the silver, was actually not used. But David HaMelech made all the efforts that he would be facilitate the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayishma Toi Melech Hamos. Now Toi, the king of Hamos, heard ki hiko David is kochel hadadozer, that David had struck the whole army of Hadadozer. We had before, there was one king, we mentioned that came to David and wanted to make peace and to help out. That was Hiram, the king of Tzor, of Tyre. Now we have another king, Toi Melech Hamos. And he's going to come and he hears that David defeated the whole army of Hadadozer, and he's going to send presents to David and also show his friendship. But he's not as altruistic. He has his ulterior motives. That Vayishlach Toi es Yoram Beno. Toi sent Yoram, his son, El HaMelech David, to the King David. Lishalo L'Sholom, to inquire about his welfare. Ulevarchu, and to bless him. Al Asher Nilcham B'Hadad Ezer Vayakeyu. Because David had fought against Hadad Ezer and defeated him. He inquired how David was doing. After all, David was waging this war. And he blessed him for bringing the victory. Ki ish melchamos toi hoya Hadad Ozer, because Hadad Ozer was an enemy of Toi. So now that David, right, my enemy's enemy is my friend. So the one who wiped out Hadad Ozer now is the friend of Toi, and Toi sends a present to David. Uviyado hayu klei chesav uklei zav uklei nechoshes, and he sent silver utensils and gold utensils and copper. Copper utensils. Gam osam hikdish HaMelech David Hashem. Those vessels also David was makdish to Hashem. In other words, this was not even what was won in war. This was like a personal present that Toi sent to David. But that also he was makdish. Ima kesef azov, together with the silver and the gold, asher hikdish, that he was makdish, mikol ha-goyim asher kibesh, from all the goyim that he captured, that he defeated. It's interesting, but with David HaMelech, with great people, whatever, all the good that's done, there's always some comment they could have done better. But the Me'am Lois points out that some actually mention this as a genai for David HaMelech. This was actually wrong, because he captured a tremendous wealth, and he dedicated it for the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll learn later on, there was a famine in the times of David HaMelech. And there were poor people, and there were people who were hungry. And the question is, was David HaMelech correct in taking all of the wealth and dedicating it to the Beis HaMikdash? Or perhaps he should have used that wealth better to feed the poor? It's always the dilemma, how to prioritize and how a person should distribute his stock of funds. But this is what David HaMelech did. He put it aside for the Beis HaMikdash, and it's certainly spoken of in tremendous praise. his concern and his love for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Me'arom u'me'moav, from Arom, that was the battle we mentioned just previously against Aram Tzova, and Hadad Ezer was the king of Aram, and Aram Damesek. From Arom, u'me'moav, the battle he had with Moav, that was in Pasuk Beis that we talked about last week, where he defeated them and he disgraced and humiliated them. Umi Bnei Amon, the battle that he had with Bnei Amon, which we'll learn about later. That will be a little later. Umi Plishtim, the battle that David had with the Plishtim, which were a number of times we talk about the battles that David had with the Plishtim. It's mentioned in this parak in Pasuk Aleph, and there were a number of other battles with the Plishtim. Umi Amalek, the battle that David had with Amalek. It could be when, at the time that Shaul was still alive, at the end of Shmuel Aleph in Perek Lamed, David had gone to the Plishtim to hide from David, and then he had gone to war when the Plishtim were going to attack Shaul, and he was sent back from the battlefront. And the men went back to their families in a city called Siklag. And then they saw the city had been burnt and their families were captured by Amalek. That was done by Amalek. And then David pursued them and he defeated Amalek. It could be that's the battle that's referred to. But he had a battle with Amalek. Umishlal Hadad Ezer, the spoils he won from Hadad Ezer ben Rechov, who was Melech Tzova, the king of Tzova. Vayas David, so all of this wealth from the many military campaigns, he was makdish, he dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayas David Shein. David made a name for himself. A reputation. Beshuvo me'akoso es Arom, when he returned from striking Arom, begay melach, he was in the Valley of Salt, this is gay melach, shmona asar aleph, and there were 18,000 enemy soldiers who were killed. Now the simple meaning of Vayas Lo Shem, he made a reputation, means he became famous for winning this war. But Chazal say, as Rashi brings down, what became famous and how David became known of renown was the fact that after they defeated the enemy, they buried the bodies. Normally it was left on the surface of the field, and the people would let the enemy soldiers die and rot and get eaten by the birds and the animals. By David HaMelech, it clearly says that they made the effort to bury them. There were thousands of dead soldiers and they buried them, which is mentioned by the Melchama of Gog u'Magog. It says also the Goyim who are killed will be Zoche, whatever, they'll be buried. And he became famous, Beshuvo, from striking when he returned from defeating Aram, Shmona Asar Aleph, and he had killed 18,000 enemy soldiers. What's interesting is, this same idea is mentioned, a lot of these psukim are discussed in Divrei HaYamim, in Chronicles, where it discusses it, but looking at it from a different perspective, and there are many differences. And in Divrei HaYamim, it says, Avshai ben Tsruya struck Edom, and he killed 18,000 soldiers. In Tehillim, it also mentions about this battle. It's in Tehillim, Perek Samach, Lam Natzeach al Shushan Edus, for the conductor, the following Mizmor. And then it's in Pasuk Beis, it says, Bahatsoso es Aram Na'arayim, when David made war against Aram Na'arayim in Aram Tzova, and Yoav returned, and he struck Edom in Gay Melach in the Valley of Salt. Yoav ben Struya struck them down, 12,000 men. So it's mentioned in three places, and in each place, it's a little different. In Tehillim, it says Yoav killed 12,000 soldiers. In Divrei HaYamim, it says Avshai ben Tsruya, who was a brother of Yoav, killed 18,000 from Edom. And over here it says David HaMelech killed 18,000 without saying which nation they were from. But he returned from Aram. And there are a number of explanations. It could be there were 12,000 from Edom that Yoav killed. And there were 6,000 from Aram who had ended up in Gay Melech also. Maybe they were fleeing, maybe they went to join the enemy. There were 18,000 altogether, but there were 12,000 from Aram. It could be Avshai ben Tsruya started the battle, and then Yoav came and finished it off, and Yoav killed 12,000, Avshai killed the other 6,000. And these were two generals of David. Yoav was the main general. Yoav was the main general, but his brother Avishai also controlled battalions and groups of men, and could be he started it and Yoav finished it. And over here it calls it David's victory because David was the king. They were his generals. What's interesting is the Navi doesn't go into details with all these battles. But in Tehillim, Perek Samach, just to read a few of the psukim, it obviously was a tremendously difficult war. It says like this. It says, the following mizmor in Tehillim was said when Yoav returned from striking Aram, and he defeated Edom, there were 12,000 men. It says, Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanachtonu, you forsook us. Foratstonu, you breached us. You like made a hole in our army. Anafta, you are angry with us. Teshovev lanu, you should finally restore us and give us peace and tranquility. Hirashta Eretz, you made the land like shake, like quake. Pitsamta, you left it. You broke it into pieces. Rafashiva Reha Kimata, heal the fragments. Kimata, it's like the land is like tottering, like ready to fall, ready to... Hirisa Amcha Kasha, you showed your nation a harshness. Hishkisanu Yayin Tareli, you made us drink the wine of bewilderment. But then you've given a banner to be raised high to those who fear you. Now, this was obviously a tremendously difficult battle. A lot of these battles that he fought with Aram, and then he came back now and he's fighting Edom, and it seemed that the victory was not always guaranteed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the victory to David, and he said it a perek in Tehillim to thank Hashem for that. Vayosim be'edom netzivim, and pasuk yudalid. David set up netzivim, authorities in Edom. B'chol Edom some netzivim. And don't think it was just in a place or two. But he did it in all over Edom. He made these officials. He set up his men. In Aram, he did that in pasuk vav, when he first defeated Aram Hadad Ezer, and they defeated Aram, he set up Netzivim. But it could be Aram came back later to fight. Here in Edom, it clearly says he did it B'chol Edom, all over Edom. Vayhi Chol Edom Avodim LeDavid. All of Edom became slaves to David. Vayosha Hashem Es David B'chol Asher Holach. Hashem saved David wherever he went. This battle with Edom was significant because we know that Klal Yisrael's main opposition is Edom, is Esav. And this is foreshadowing that in the times of Mashiach, again, Klal Yisrael will have the upper hand and Edom will be subservient to Klal Yisrael. Esav will be the Rav Yavod Sawyer. He'll be the one serving, the younger brother serving Klal Yisrael. Avram Avinu was promised 10 lands in Parshas Lech Lecha. The last three mentioned in the Pasuk are Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. Those three countries are Edom, Ammon, and Moab. Meaning in the future, Klal Yisrael will capture Edom, and it'll have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It'll be added on to what we know of now as Eretz Yisrael. And David HaMelech now captured it, and Hashem saved David B'chol Asher Holach, wherever he went, to show David La'asi Lavo in the future how Klal Yisrael would conquer these countries. Vayimloch David al Kol Yisrael. David now was ruled over all of Klal Yisrael. After these military campaigns, and he had shown his power and his ability as king, he had started off as the king in Hebron for 7.5 years, over just the Shevet Yehuda Binyamin. But now he was the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Vayhi David osa mishpot utztaka l'chol amo. And David did justice, and he did staka l'chol amo to all his people. There was no favoritism, even though he was from Shevet Yehuda, but he was now the king over everyone, and he did mishpat and staka l'chol amo. He treated everyone with mishpat and staka. In fact, the Gemara mentions Mishpat and Stukka, Gemara and Sanhedrin on Daf Vavim and Beis. He would judge the people. He did Mishpat. And sometimes there'd be a wealthy person who would have a din Torah against a poor person, and the poor person would lose, and he wasn't able to pay. So David HaMelech, from his own pocket, would judge the case, and if the Ani came out guilty, David HaMelech would pay the rich man out of his pocket, because the rich man won the din Torah. So he did Mishpat, he did justice, and he did Stukka. It cost him carrying out justice, he would do Stukka. But the Gemara says, if so, it should just say he did Mishpat and he did Stukka for the Aniyim. He helped out the Aniyim. And the Gemara mentions a lesson that's important for people to keep in mind. The Gemara says the Pshat is, he did Mishpat and Stukka. Mishpat lezeh shehechzir lo mimono. He did justice. And the person who was deserved to win the case and to get the money, David saw to it that the rightful owner got the money. And you know what the tztaka was? The tztaka was lezeh shehotzi gezeila mitachas yado. That if somebody had another man's money wrongfully and he lost the case, the tztaka was that David saw to it that he paid. Because down here, the person, everyone wants his money and they didn't want to give up the money. But the truth is, the greatest favor David could do to the person is that he should, when he leaves this world, he shouldn't have money that's not his. So the tztaka wasn't limited to the poor people that David helped out. He did mishpat utztaka l'chol amo, to everyone. Because in every case, the guilty person was receiving the tztaka of being able to give away money that was not his. And of course, the one who won the case had the mishpat, justice was done, and he got back his money. Rav Pam used to always speak about people going to Dinei Torah and they're worrying how they're going to win the case. And they think maybe if they go to the courts, they'd win. But he used to always say that if a person has money that really would not be his with Bezdin, it's to his detriment. In other words, it's the greatest stuck or the greatest favor that could be done to this person that he should not have money that's not his. Rashi brings down that the two actually worked, that David worked together with Yoav. The next pasuk says, V'yoav ben Tzruya al Hatzava. Yoav ben Tzruya was in charge of the army. David did Mishpat and Stukka. After these battles, David was able to turn his attention to justice and to doing kindness to the people. And Yoav carried on with the other battles. Yoav ben Tzruya was al Hatzava. So first of all, David caused Yoav, Rashi says, David goram li Yoav to be matzliach. Why was Yoav successful with the army? Because David was doing his mishpat and stukka. The Ramban discusses in a number of places in the Torah. One of them is in Parshas Vayigash, where the Ramban discusses, Chazal say Yocheved was born when Klal Yisrael came into Mitzrayim. So a question that's asked by Ibn Ezra is that if Yocheved was born when they came into Mitzrayim, and her son Moshe was 80 when they left Mitzrayim, he was 80 when he came to Paro, and Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim for 210 years, it would have to be that Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe, right? 210 minus 80. She'd have to be 130. And Ibn Ezra's bothered that the Torah makes such a discussion about how Sarah, Bim Sarah, Habas Tishim Shana Telet, Sarah gave birth at the age of 90. Yocheved did much greater than that. She gave birth at the age of 130. The Ramban makes the point, and it's a point not just to answer this question, but it's the essay that he uses, that he says is Nogea B'kol HaTayra. And the Ramban says that the Torah only mentions miracles. If it was told to a Navi that something would happen, and it happened, those are the nisim that are mentioned in the Torah. But the fact that a miracle happens and things work out for the benefit of a tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be born and he had to be at the right age when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. A miracle that's done for the benefit of a tzaddik, that things should work out right, the Torah doesn't bother mentioning like miracles like that. And the Ramban makes the point that the truth is the whole Torah works with miracles. The Torah promises you if you keep the Torah, it'll be good. And if somebody doesn't keep the Torah, they won't be good. And if he does certain averos, he gets kares. And he dies at a young age. And it's misa bidei shamayim. And if somebody doesn't keep shmita, there won't be rain. There'll be v'lo yishamayim kabarzel mibnei zareinu b'shona hashviz. Planting during the shmita year shouldn't cause that the crops, that the rain doesn't fall. But all the promises of the Torah, what it's based on is if you keep the mitzvahs, it'll be good. If Klal Yisrael keeps the mitzvahs, it'll be good. And if they don't, it'll be bad. That's a miracle. Because that means that our behavior directly influences what happens in this world. But the Torah doesn't bother stressing miracles like that. A lot of things happen, unless it's a... Those are not the miracles that the Torah mentions. A lot of miracles happen in order that things should work out. And Yocheved was 130, so she gave birth to Moshe at the correct age, that Moshe Rabbeinu would be 80 when it was time for Klal Yisrael to go out, but the Torah doesn't mention miracles like that. And he mentions, V'chol tefilos David Malkeinu, V'chol tefilos Seinu nisim v'niflos. Just a thought. All of the tefilos that David HaMelech davened, and all of our davening is actually a miracle. Because when we daven, it helps. Meaning, something would have happened without our davening. And when somebody davens, it changes what would have been. So that's a miracle. But the Torah doesn't mention miracles like that, that are, unless the Novi says something's going to happen, and then it happens, that the Torah mentions. So David was Osem Mishparut Tzedakah L'Chol Amo. David did justice and he did chesed. And that's why Yoav won. It's a bit like a miracle. Yoav's military victories were dependent on David's doing the right, doing tzidkis and doing mitzvos, and David's behavior caused the army to be successful. The Yoav Goram LeDavid Lasas Mishpat Tzedakah. And Yoav caused David to do Mishpat Tzedakah. You wonder, how was David able to have the Menuchas HaNefesh, the ability to be involved with Mishpat Tzedakah? The answer is Yoav took care of the army. And if he has somebody good in charge of the wars, David is able to devote himself to Mishpat and Tzedakah. It always comes to mind the Gemara in Eruvin. I enjoy this Gemara because I think it's a little bit of a limud zchus on the fact that it's so difficult for us to learn. The Gemara says in Eruvin on Daf Samach Hey, Amar Abaya. The first it says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hilchas Saboi Tzilusa. To learn halacha, you have to have a clarity, kiyomid estana, like a day when the north wind is blowing and it has the right temperature and the right humidity and the right brightness. You have to have the right conducive environment in order for somebody to be able to learn. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Amar li aim, if my mother would say to me, Koriv Kuscha, can you pass the kutach? Kuscha was like a dip. It was made with it was milchiks and it had some breadcrumbs in it. It was some type of dip. But like, imagine if my mother would say, pass the mustard, lo tanoi. I wouldn't be able to learn. Rashi says, lo yisi shone kemosha shanisi. I wouldn't be able to learn like I learned. Or Zabai had such a engrossment in his learning. He was so involved that the littlest thing would damage him, it would affect him. He wouldn't be able to learn the same. Amar Rava said, Ikratzton kina, if I would be bitten by a louse, lo tanoi, I wouldn't be able to learn. In other words, it would bother my learning. Marbrei de Ravina, Ovdalei ime zayin money le zayin yomi. Marbrei de Ravina's mother prepared him 7 outfits for the 7 days of the week. In other words, he could change his clothing every day. The Gemara mentioned it was like a tremendous thing. And I would say that he didn't have problems with, you know, being with lice and things like that. His mother prepared him a separate clothing for every day. But you see from the Gemara, and obviously the Tanoim were able to, they were able to persevere, because very few people, I don't think, had such a life where there was no digas and no worries at all. But to a person's level of learning, those people who achieved their greatness, a lot of it were, it was very difficult, because the slightest thing can damage a person's tranquility and peace of mind. Especially the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin, Abai actually was a Yosam. Abaye's both parents were nifter. His father was nifter before he was born, when his mother was expecting. Then, when he was born, his mother died. So he had neither parent. And the Gemara says, whenever it refers to Amri Li Ein, my mother said, it was actually the one who raised him. So it's even a greater chiddush, because, in other words, I guess his mother, it wasn't even his natural mother, but she obviously raised Abaye, and the slightest thing bothered him, but she gave him that opportunity to learn. But, of course, that's sort of, a lot of these things are sort of almost like in a utopia. It's very hard for a person to be able to put things out of his mind and learn. But Chazal say, Vahi David osa mishpat utztaka l'chol amo. David was able to do mishpat and staka to his whole nation. And how was he able to do it? V'yov ben Tzruya al atzava. Yoav ben Tzruya was in charge of the army. And the fact that was taken off of David's mind, and he knew that he could rely on Yoav, David was able to do mishpat and staka. It's also interesting because David, we've had a number of places in the past, and it comes up again later, there were many times that David did not approve of what Yoav did, and David didn't necessarily want Yoav to be the general. It was his nephew, because Tzruya was David's sister. Yoav ben Tzruya was David's nephew, but a lot of times he did things without David's approval. But I guess you have to give credit where credit is due, and this was true, that the way he ran the army, David was able to do mishpat utztaka. In fact, Yoav became, it says in Divrei Hayamim, in that battle that David had capturing the Yerushalayim and defeating the Yavusi, he said, whoever kolmake Yavusi v'yiga betzinor, whoever wins this victory will become the general. And Yoav did it. So it could be David didn't even appoint him. He won the position. And now David had to deal with him. But as a result, David was able to do mishpat utztaka. Yoav ben Tzruya al atzava, v'Yehoshafat ben Achilud mazkir. Yehoshafat ben Achilud was the mazkir. Either was he was in charge of the records, the Sefer HaZichronos, or Mazkir Rashi mentions as he was in charge of keeping track of which court case should come first to David. And obviously this was a chosh of a position that it's mentioned here in the Navi. V'tzaruk ben Achitu v'Achimelech ben Avyosar Kohanim. Tzaruk and Achimelech were the Kohanim. Achimelech was the grandson of the Kohen in Nov that Shaul killed. David had gone to Nov when he was fleeing from Shaul. Shaul found out that he was in Nov, and Shaul destroyed the city. The king, the Kohen at that time was Achimelech. This is his grandson. Achimelech ben Avyosar were the Kohanim, and he was originally the Kohen Gadol. What happened later on, and he descended from Eli HaKohen, and their Yichus goes back to Isamar. Aaron HaKohen had two sons that remained alive as Kohanim. Nadav and Avihu were Nifter. There was Elazar and Isamar. Achimelech came from Isamar, but eventually, we'll learn about it later, the Kohen Gadol was transferred to Tzadok, who descended from Elazar. Uvnayo ben Yoyada, Vnayo ben Yehoyada, Va'kresi, Va'plesi. The simple meaning is Kresi and Plesi are different families, different groups of, some are different countries, different nations, that joined together with David. Uvnay David and the sons of David, Kohanim Hoyu, they were officials and they were leaders of the people. Kresi and Plesi, the Targum mentions, is Kresi is those, the archers, people who shot the bow and arrow, and Plesi are those who were the slingshots, the slingers. These were different components, different divisions in the army. So Vnayob and Yoyoda, together with the Kresi and Plesi, these groups of soldiers, they were all important and prominent in David HaMelech's government. And Chazal say the Kresi of Plesi is referring to the Sanhedrin, or it's referring to the Urim V'Tumim. That Kresi, their words were like cut off, they were absolute. There was nothing more to say. And Mufloim, they were wondrous, they were Plesi, whatever they said was correct. Uvnei David Kohanim Hayu, the sons of David were Kohanim. Pasha Kohanim means that they were Choshev, they were important people. It could also be that Kohanim had two functions. One is to bring the Karbonos, and one is to teach the people. Bnei David were able to do both of that. Before the Beis HaMikdash, they were allowed to bring Karbonos on a Bama. They could make an altar. So Bnei David could serve as Kohanim before the Beis HaMikdash, and they were able to bring Karbonos. And also they were great Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore they served as the Kohanim. Perek Tes. Vayomer David. Now we start a story which is actually divided up into three parts. Exactly, we'll learn about Mephibosheth and about Tziva, which we're going to learn about in this perek, and it's going to come up in a few prokem later, and it's going to come up a third time. But this is the story. David had just appointed officials. David also was involved in doing mishpat and staka, to do chesed with Klal Yisrael. So now Vayomer David. David said, Achi Yeh Shaul, is there anyone else asher nosa levei Shaul that remains from the household of Shaul? Ve'esei mo chesed, I want to do with him chesed bavur Yehonasan. Because of this close bond, the close friendship that David had with Yehonasan, he wants to do a chesed with somebody. Has anybody remained from the household of Shaul? Could be he wanted to give him a position. He had just given out, he's making up his cabinet. He had appointed all these people. He would like to take, even though Shaul was his enemy, Shaul was out to kill David, but David wants to do a chesed because of Yehonasan, and he's not limiting it to Yehonasan's children. It could be anybody in the base Shaul. Is anybody remain in the household of Shaul? He'd like to do him this chesed, either give him a position, or in general do chesed. Bavur Yehonasan because of Yehonasan. Now, the truth is, David would have known exactly who was in Shaul's household. Besides the fact that David was in Shaul's household, and David must have known the family, David married Shaul's daughter, Michal. But it seems that what happened was, the family went into hiding. As Ishbosheth was the king over the rest of Klal Yisrael, and Ishbosheth ended up being killed. And it could be everyone else hid. And David wondered, not Hachi Nosar Levei Shaul, is anyone remaining? He knows who remained. But Hachi Yesh Od, is there anyone who's still Asher Nosa remaining from Shaul? Meaning, is he still alive? Is there anyone, he doesn't know what happened to them? Now, it could be they're hiding, we'll see, because they didn't want David as king and they just wanted to, maybe there were dreams of making their own rebellion at some point. Could be they were hiding because they were embarrassed. They had been against David and now David was the leader. They wanted to hide. Or it could be in general, the family of Shaul always had that meat of tsnius, of humility and modesty. And when Shaul was the leader, so the family obviously was prominent. But once David took over, they immediately went back into seclusion and shunned the limelight. But in any case, they weren't around, and David wants to know, does anybody remain? Ulevei Shaul Eved Ushmo Tziva. To the house of Shaul, there was an Eved. There was an Eved Kenaini, a slave. And his name was Tziva. Vayikru lo el David, they called him to David. And when they called him, they didn't mention the king. Because perhaps Tziva would also be afraid and would somehow disappear. But they called him to David, which is like on a first name basis, on a friendly basis. David called him because he wanted to make it clear that he's looking to do chesed. He's not here to impose any royal punishments on the house of Shaul. But Vayomer HaMelech Elov, once Tziva came, David made it clear he's speaking as king. Vayomer HaMelech Elov, the king said to him, Ha'ata Tziva, are you Tziva? It could have been many years since he saw Tziva. Vayomer Avdecha, and he said, I'm your servant. Yes, it's Tziva. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, again, he's speaking to him as king, when he asked him, are you Tziva? He's letting him know that you better tell me the truth. This is the king speaking. And now he's asking again, Vayomer HaMelech, Ha'efes od ish levei Shaul. Is there any other man who remains from the household of Shaul? Could be that term ish means, is there anybody important that I can give a position to? Is there any ish levei Shaul? Ve'esei mo chesed elokim, and I'll do with him a tremendous chesed. A godly chesed, a chesed elokim, meaning either a great chesed, or he mentions it with Hashem's name to know that he really means to do a chesed. It's not a trick, but the very fact that he mentioned Hashem's name in this phrase, he'll do it. He wants to do a chesed with him. Vayomer Tziva el Hamelech. Tziva said to the king, Od bein li Yehonasan. Yeah, there's still a son for Yehonasan. Yehonasan was the son of Shaul who was killed in battle. And there's still a son of his. Nechei Ragloyim. And this son is lame. Now it seems that, we'll see in a minute, there's a question. It seems the son that we're going to learn about, Mephibosheth, was lame. And therefore he wasn't really able to run the estate. And this Eved Kenayni, this slave, Tziva, was running the whole business. And you see, even the way he refers to his master, he doesn't even call him by name. He doesn't say Mephibosheth. He says, yeah, Yehonasan had a son and he's lame. As if to say he's not important, he doesn't. He speaks to him with a sort of a lack of respect. And we'll see David sets the matter straight in this perek that Tziva is the slave and he's got his boss and he better make sure to do everything that Mephibosheth needs. But this is what he said. He said, Od bein li Yehonasan, yeah, there's another son for Yehonasan, Yechei Ragloyim. Now, it's not clear exactly when this perek happened. Assuming it happened at this point in history, he would have been very young. Because when Shaul was killed, we learned in Perek Dalid, the Omanto, the one, the nurse who were raising the children, picked him up. He was 5 years old, this child, and she was running. She heard that Klal Yisrael were defeated, Shaul was killed. She picked him up and started running, and she dropped him. And because he was dropped in a certain way, he became lame. He was 5 years old. Now, David was the king in Hebron for 7.5 years. So it could be at this point he's in a little bit of time transpired. It could be he's a young teenager shortly after his bar mitzvah. It's not clear exactly. But we will see that he already had one child. In Pasuk Yud Beis, it says Mephibosheth had a son, Micha, later on. So it probably happened sometime. Obviously, there was enough time that he could have a child, but it seems that it happened shortly after, at this point in Novi. So Tziva said, yeah, there is a Bein li Yehonasan, there's a child for Yehonasan, and he is Nechei Ragloyim. Vayomer lo HaMelech, so the king said to him, Eifahu, where is he? Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech, Tziva said to the king, Hinehu beis Machir ben Amiel, he's in the house of Machir ben Amiel below Devor. And the simple meaning is, he's in a place called Lo Devor. That's the name of the city. You can find him over there. Chazal Darshan, this Lo Devor, as if to say, Lo Devor, he didn't have Torah. I don't know if they're darshing it like, as if it'd be an Aleph. Lo Devor, he didn't have the words of Torah. Or Lo Devor, maybe he had one word of Torah. He had very little. Meaning he doesn't have Torah. He's not Moritz. And it could be, therefore, he's not coming because he doesn't feel comfortable participating in the king's table, David HaMelech's table. He must have said a lot of Torah, and it could be that's why he's hiding. He's in below Devor. Now, the Gemara discusses in Shabbos on Daf Nun Vav, was Tziva's telling the truth or not? Because Vayishlach HaMelech David, the king David sent, Vayikocheyu, and he took him mi beis Mocher ben Amiel, from the house of Mocher ben Amiel, mi lo Devor, from the place lo Devor. Simple meaning is that's the name of the city. But Chazal Darshan Milo Devor, that he was full, like Mole, Milo Devor, he was full of words of Torah. Meaning, Tziva was speaking out against his master. He referred to him as, yeah, he didn't want to refer to him by name. And again, he seems like he put down his master, that, yeah, is there anybody left? This is Mephibosheth, he didn't mention his name, but he doesn't know Torah, and therefore he's not fit to come to the king. That's why he's hiding. Could be he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to meet up with David. But David saw he was Melo Devor. He was actually great in Torah. And according to that, Tziva would seem to be a liar. Now we'll see in a different parak later on. We'll bring back this story when we get there. But the question is, can you believe what Tziva said? Is he lying? Is he not lying? Is a discussion in the Gemara. Vayomer Mephibosheth, but now again, when the king called him, Vayishlach HaMelech David, he sent him as the king, but he was sending to Mephibosheth, and he says, not, it adds David. He was the king, but he was also David, again showing him, it's a royal command to come, but on a personal level, I'm David also, both titles are used, both names are used. Vayomer Mephibosheth ben Yehonasan. So now Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, Ben Shaul, who is the son of Shaul, it gives you his whole yichus. Now that he's been brought up from obscurity, and he's now being brought, it mentions his whole yichus. Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, was brought El David. And we'll see in these psukim, it doesn't refer to him as king. Because David related to him as Mephibosheth was going to be part of his family. He came to David. Vayipol al panav vayishtachu, and Mephibosheth fell on his face and he bowed down. Vayomer David, and David said, Mephibosheth. Vayomer, and he responded, he said, Hinei avdecha, behold, I'm your servant. Now David could tell, possibly, that Mephibosheth was afraid, maybe figured he was in hiding, because he was afraid that David would take revenge for what the house of Shaul had done. Maybe he was, the very fact that David, he said, Hinei avdecha, I'm your servant, David understood that there was a bit of fear. Or maybe the very fact that, as the Pasuk stresses, he might be the son of Yehona's son, who was David's good friend, but Ben Shaul, he's a grandson of Shaul. And knowing what Shaul had done, could be that's why he was afraid. And therefore, in Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer lo David said to him, Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki also esim cho chesed, I'll do kindness with you. Ba'avur Yehonasan avicha, because of Yehonasan your father. Vashivosi l'cho, and I'll return to you as kol stei shol avicha, all of the fields, the property of Shol your father. Va'ata tocha lechem al shulchani tamid, and you'll eat bread by my royal table always. The question is, what exactly is this chesed here? In other words, he's telling him, you'll get the family estate. In other words, all the fields of Shaul will end up going to Mephibosheth. I mean, what is the chiddush? If Shaul's son, Yehona's son, was Yehona's son, and this is Yehona's son's son, he's entitled to the family Yerusha. Now, there were other children. David had Shaul had a Pilegesh Ritzpah Bas Ayah, and she had sons. So if David means that I'm going to take everyone else's property of the Yerusha, and it's all going to go to Mephibosheth, that's difficult. What's the kindness of David? I mean, it's a kindness to Mephibosheth at the expense of the other Yorshim, the other inheritors. So exactly what is this kindness? If he's giving him what's legally his, that's not a chesed. And if he's giving him more than he deserves from the Yerusha, that seems to be incorrect, not fair. So some learn, Rashi mentions on Pasuk Tes, that one of the rules of a king is he is allowed to take people's fields and vineyards and he can give it to his servants. And therefore David had the legal right to confiscate the property, anybody's property. That's what a king does. A king can confiscate people's property. And therefore the very fact that Mephibosheth came from the lineage that he did, and David might have decided to confiscate the property, and he didn't, that's a chesed. The problem is that the Radak mentions that a king really is not allowed to just take anybody's property as he wants. There's a story about Novos, we'll learn about with Achav. Novos had a vineyard, and Achav wanted to take the vineyard, and it's clear in the Pesukim that he didn't just have the right to take it because he was the king. Eventually he trumped up charges against Novos and he had him killed. There's a whole story in Melachim. But a king is not just able to say, you know, he wants somebody's house and take it. When it says that he can give the fields and the vineyards to his servants, that means if it's a time of war or in time of necessity, he has the right, I guess like eminent domain or whatever, this is stronger. A king has the right to take people's property. If it's needed, he could take the fruits of the land. And Mephoshim say it doesn't even mean to confiscate the land. He can take it if he needs the produce to feed to his servants. But it doesn't mean to just confiscate it. So the Radak learns that what happened was Ishbosheth, who is the son of Shaul, became the king, even though David was the king at the same time. And people knew that Shmuel HaNovi anointed David to be king. So Ish-Boshes being the king was really like a rebellion. It was a Moreh B'Malchus. He was the king over the other Shevatim at a time that David was the king. So all those that backed up Ish-Boshes, because of that, should have a din of Moreh B'Malchus, people rebelling against the throne, and they could be killed. And somebody who's Moreh B'Malchus, the property goes to the king. So David HaMelech had the legal right to take whatever Mephibosheth had. And the chesed was that he didn't. That Mephibosheth is a son of Yehonah's son, and David and Yehonah's son were so close, he'll leave him that. And a third possibility is mentioned by the Malbim, that the chesed was that there's two types of property that a king has. His personal wealth, and the wealth that he has of the country. There's a tremendous wealth that when the country goes to war and they capture things and they amass a fortune, or in general the gross national product is doing well and the economy has a boost, the king very often has a source of wealth that really belongs to the country. And what Shaul had, the wealth that Shaul had, should have gone to David because he's the new king. And that wealth, that is the royal wealth as the leader of the country, should have gone to the next king. And what David told him was, I'm going to do with you a chesed, and that all of that wealth that you had that came from Shaul will be given to you. And also, v'atatoch alechem al shulchani tamid, you'll eat bread by my table always. Mephibosheth, besides the fact that he was the son of Yehonah's son, in his own right, he was a very great person. And he was worthy of eating at the table of David HaMelech. He was on the level to partake of the discussions that involved the country, the discussions that involved Torah and Yirah Shemayim, everything that David had to discuss at his table. Mephibosheth was going to be al shulchani tamid, always there, because he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara points out in Brachas, on Daf Dalet, that David HaMelech mentioned among his chasidus, the righteousness of David. David said that I have a Rebbe Mephibosheth. And it's a question who this Mephibosheth is. There were a number of people with that name. But the Mephoshim learn that it's this Mephibosheth we're learning about here. That David accepted him as the Rebbe, and he would embarrass David by very often pointing out what David HaMelech said wrong and paskin wrong. And David promises him now, v'atatoch alechem al shulchani tamid, that Mephibosheth will be part of the royal table. Vayishtachu, Mephibosheth bowed, vayomer, he said, me'avdecha, what importance is your servant? Who am I? Kifanisa l'kelev ha'meis asher kamoni, you're turning to a dead dog like me. And interesting, these are the words that David said to Shaul. He said, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof Dalet, Shaul was chasing after David. And David said, Achrei mi yotza melech Yisrael? Who is the king of Israel pursuing? Achrei mi atarodef? Who are you chasing after? Achrei kelev meis? After a dead dog? David referred to himself that way when he spoke to Shaul. And the world turns. The world turns. Here you have Shaul's grandson, Mephibosheth, who's speaking to David with the same humility. All of a sudden now David's star has risen, and the household of Shaul is totally dependent on him. And we'll finish the parak in Yirtzeh Hashem next week.